privilege of working at an institution where we do marvelous things, like operate on fetuses before they're born, and our cardiac center can take a bunch of blue babies and make them pink. But what I need to do is keep them honest and remind them every day that it's trauma that kills kids. It's a leading cause of death and disability in the United States. And within that subset, motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death and disability for the pediatric and young adult populations. So if we could correlate anatomic injuries with the causative motor vehicle crash characteristics, we'd be in a much better position to try to affect safety design and create better injury prevention strategies. But as in most things in this arena, data is particularly limited. Well, the CDC maintains a database of all deaths that occur in the United States, the multiple cause of death public use data set. This contains up to 20 anatomic diagnoses per decedent entered into the data set. And for the period 1987 to 2002, there were 2.3 million injury-related decedents which were included in that file, including 150,000 in the target population here under 16 years of age. And for the smaller window, 1999 to 2002, there were 28,000 fatally injured youth included in the MCOD public use data set. So for these fatally injured occupants, we have very detailed or potentially detailed information about their injuries, but not much in terms of the crash that led to their demise. In 1975, NHTSA created Fatality Analysis and Reporting System, or FARS. It's a very robust system in, which collects data on all fatal crashes in the United States. It has a tremendous amount of information. For the period 1987 to 2002, there were 173,000 passenger fatalities entered into this database, including 31,000 fatally injured youth. And for, again, the window 1999 to 2002, there were 8,000 child occupants less than 16 years of age that died in that motor vehicle collision and were included in FARS. So here we have a data set that has a tremendous amount of information about the crash itself, but not much about the anatomic injuries for the decedents within the system. So we thought it would be tremendous if we could bring these two large bodies of information together and have anatomic injury information coupled with crash injury information. So for several years, we worked on a way to link these two valuable data sets, trying to do things with probabilistic linking, taking elements from each set and trying to create a match. We did this for a while until we found out that it was expressly prohibited for fear that you now create a data set which somehow has identifiable individuals. So we had to abandon that approach. Around the same time, however, we found out that these two data sets are actually linked. It just was not known to at least us, and I think probably not the general public. But NHTSA created a linked data set between FARS and MCOD, which had data available for the period 1987 to 2002. And they linked their data sets based on the unique death certificate number. And this number is present in both sets essentially universally, so the probability linkage would be quite high. So our work was done. We were quite elated that that the sets existed, and then reality set in. But these merged data sets contain all the data elements from FARS linked to the injury details from the MCOD. Well, dealing with one government agency can be difficult. Dealing with two government agencies that have created a single linked data set is not double the work. Poisson or a negative binomial or something, the number goes up quite dramatically. There were a bunch of hoops that we needed to jump through before considering working with this data set. We had to have initial support and approval from the NCHS and also the National Association of Public Health Statistics and Information. Once this was granted, we could go on to the next set of hurdles. The data from the death certificates is owned at the state level. The agreements for MCOD to house that data is by individual data use agreements with the jurisdictions, separate jurisdictions. So there are data use agreements for every single state. If we wanted to use this data set, we were required to do the same thing, to get a data use agreement from all of the individual jurisdictions. And we were remarkably able to get data use agreements from 47 of 50 state jurisdictions. The data analysis itself, we can't get the data. They can't download the whole merged data set. We have to send a very specific question. It's run through the merged or linked data set, and a very specific answer is fed back to us. So we have to be quite specific with our queries. And our initial data use agreement was to look at kids. That's our focus, but quite clearly this could be applied to anyone that appears in the data set if you have interest in getting approval from 50 state jurisdictions. So we looked at crash-related fatality within 30 days of the event. Again, we're focused on kids, occupants in the vehicles, less than 16 at the time of their death. We focused on decedents for the period 1999 to 2002. I'll tell you why in a second. MCOD data elements included the anatomic injury diagnoses based on ICD-10 codes. We did several data runs and found some tremendous gaps, and we realized one of the problems was that all of the data before 1999 was ICD-9 based. When the linked data set was created, for unclear reasons, they only included the first three digits of ICD-9. So it limits the specificity of the data which can come out of there. So for instance, somebody with a head injury, the first three digits would say cerebral contusion. The clarity from a fourth digit would tell you that it's an open versus closed head injury. And the clarity from the fifth digit tells you it's a cerebral contusion from a closed injury with a specified loss of consciousness. So we decided to use the more recent data from 1999 to 2002, which is based on ICD-10. And these are, this is the data which we've pulled out in some of the early runs. So for the 4 years of review, there were 6,000 child occupant decedents in the linked sets. It was 59% male, and the mean age of this population, again, it's a 0 to 15 window. The mean age was 8.6 years. If we look at injury location, so 6,000 decedents, by far the most common injury location is head, which is having spent many sleepless nights in the trauma bay, it's, we know this already, it's head injuries that kills the kids when they die. And then we start to get some information about other organ systems, spinal cord about 1% of population, vertebral column about 1.2%, thorax 10%, and we clinically know that the second most common site of a fatal injury in the patients that we see is going to be the thorax. And then multiple body regions were coded in about a quarter of the population. If we start to look at some of the crash characteristics, frontal crashes predominated about 41%. Side impact was responsible for about a third, and then others are listed. Vehicle types, passenger cars were the most common, which is not surprising. But second most common were SUVs, and then pickup trucks probably a little disproportionately represented here. Other crash characteristics, the children in these crashes were restrained in under 50% of the cases. They were front row seated in 39%, exposed to an airbag in about 6%. Then the injury or the crash was described as having severe intrusion and a non-drivable vehicle in well over 90%. So it's a pretty significant energy. As you can see, there are significant limitations to the study set. It's only as good as the data that's entered. So if variables are left, there were good good number of NOS, so not otherwise specified, characters, so it may tell you, you may know that it's a head injury, but you don't have further specification. We don't know how the diagnoses were obtained. It's quite possible somebody who's declared dead at the scene will not have as much detailed injury information as somebody who undergoes a workup in a hospital and then dies, where you would have imaging or reports from a clinical evaluation and, or an operation or the like. So we can lose some specificity and some injury information from that. So by that same token, it may under-detect some injuries. We may not know that in addition to the massive close head injury, they also had a femur fracture or they also had a pancreatic contusion because the evaluation stopped at massive close head injury. So there are limitations. We do think it's potentially a very robust data tool. We do see head injuries predominate in these occupant fatalities. And the kids were most commonly rear-seated, unrestrained passengers in frontal crashes. I think as we move forward to truly take advantage of this data set, we need to, I think, focus on very specific anatomic injuries and then focus on their associated crash injuries. This was, in part, proof of concept that we can actually pull information out of this data set, which we think we can. And then I think now that we understand some of the nuances, we can get data that makes more sense out of it. So taking an injury which is likely to show up, if an injury, an aortic transection is in the data set, then they had to make that diagnosis somehow. So that if you take a very specific injury such as aortic transection and then look at associated crash characteristics, that may be one of the better ways to utilize this data set. And similarly, focus on crash characteristics, we can turn it around and get some of the injury details. If we start peeling back states, jumping backwards through the hoops, it may be difficult. They want to give us the most sort of aggregated data set to minimize any potential for identifying an individual. But yeah, we're trying to see if there are ways, better ways to identify how these diagnoses were obtained. But it's when you see somebody that has a single diagnosis and it's massive closed head injury, you know that most of those have something else. I mean, the vast majority are going to have another injury. And when there's a single injury in the data set, you have some concern that you're missing something significant, a bowel injury or a cervical spine injury. And they may be picked up from a dead child at a crash scene and just coded as massive close head injury. I'd have to look them up again. It's been a while and I've put them out of my memory for perhaps for good reason, I don't know. We're going to try to move forward again, get a more robust data use agreement, which also allows us to look at adults, because there's no reason this can't be applied to everyone, and get one that doesn't limit us to what was already done, but also lets us move forward and go ahead as they get new data each year. So.